Let's open our Bibles tonight to Proverbs 3, chapter 3. My son, forget not, or don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, in long life and peace, shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, we've gone through the first two chapters already, teaching us to shun evil, to listen to the voice of wisdom, the wisdom of God's word. And it gave us the mankind's wisdom of words, in other words, fancy words that mankind can use versus God's words of wisdom, that we're to seek after wisdom, dig it out like gold miners mine for gold because it comes like nuggets, and hold fast to him during trials and tribulations and take it and apply it to our behavior. I know as I was at the memorial service of a 26-year-old today, you know, like what we hold on to is that precious hope because he was a born-again believer. We know he's in God's presence. We're mourning for our own broken hearts here. But he got to go home first, you know, and yet it still hurts. There's times like this where we hold on to him, to the Lord, in trials and troubles and times like this. But here he's talking about wisdom being a teacher. And we know that as a teacher, it's important that the instruction be remembered. Because in order to apply it, we need to know what God's wisdom is, and we need to take it and apply it. And I just want to read you a verse out of 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul said in the beginning of the chapter, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory..." Keep it up here in the noodle, what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And sometimes we just don't remember things. Sometimes we don't remember because we don't remember. You know what I'm talking about? Well, where was I going? Why was I going up the stairs? I don't remember. Why am I in the kitchen? I don't remember. What is this person's name? I just ran into a bunch of faces that I think I know you. What's your name again? You know, we don't remember. Sometimes, though, we don't really want to remember. Sometimes our heart can get hardened, like a parent speaking to a child. Where were you last night? I don't remember. Right. And sometimes our hearts can harden toward the truth. But when it comes to God's wisdom, we want to remember it because we want to believe God's word. We want to take it and apply it to our lives. Now, we all remember John 3:16. You often at a football stadium, you'll see 3:16 just hanging down like a big sheet. We know, oh yeah, that must mean John 3:16. We know what that is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him would not should not perish, but have everlasting life. We often quote that. But how many times have we read the next few verses? Because the next few verses are pretty awesome. The next three. Listen, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's pretty good news. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, being a Christian isn't like joining a club. I think I'll join the YMCA in Penfield, or maybe I'll join a bridge club over here in Henrietta. Instead of being a Muslim or a Buddhist, it's not like that. It is it. This is what matters when we come to the end of life. It's either that or everything. You can throw everything that Jesus says away, because it says, if you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. Ooh, that stands for a lot of people, doesn't it? And here he says in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus, one of his names is light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They want to sin. It's our nature to sin. But God has shed that light on us so that we can see what the truth is and get out of sin. And when we believe God's wisdom, when we read it, we go, oh, that's a good point. I want to remember that. We want to remember God's wisdom. And he tells us here, why do we want to remember it? He says, because it'll give you peace. It'll give you a peaceful heart, that peace that passes understanding towards one another, towards mankind and womankind in general. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. And not only that, we'll have godly desires before God because we know his word. He says it also gives you length of days. Sometimes on this earth, certainly after life on this earth, because we step into eternity. But it also says that we have favor with mankind. We have divine favor. That's a really special blessing to have divine favor, and we can have peace. Peace toward mankind, or that peace that passes all understanding. So our character, our well-being, are dependent upon our knowledge of God, our desire to know God's words of wisdom, and our keeping of those. I mean, think of it. That's why we were made. He made us. He put Adam, formed him from the dust of the ground, pulled Eve out, took a lot of good stuff out in Eve. And he made us, he gave us the ability to see the creation that he gave us, to see this wonderful world and the universe, to see the plant and the animal kingdom, to hear all the sounds and symphony music. And he gave us that, a hope that there's more. I mean, think about that. The evolutionists say that we all came from chemistry. How does chemistry produce hope and love and compassion and feelings? It just doesn't. So, anyway. And then two of my favorite verses. I love to quote these. Trust in the Lord. Trust with all thine heart. Doesn't say most either, does it? Or a little bit. Or kind of trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You know why? Because whatever direction you lean in, it's the direction you fall in. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wow. I love those verses, quoting them, because it just says where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be trusting him. Trusting him. It's said that if we seek only our own wisdom, we have a fool for a teacher. I like that. We need to look outside of ourselves to get the wisdom that we need. And it's really found in God's word. We need to trust his word and what he says. And through the knowledge of God's word, we can't know someone unless you spend time with them. You know, I met some people there that I hadn't seen in 10 years, and I realized, wow, I still know them, but I don't really know them closely because I haven't been spending time. But in order to know the Lord, we have his word here. I mean, what's to stop us from reading it and getting to know him? Spending time with him in prayer and in the word of God. And then verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I like this. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. One of the problems that comes from our sinful nature is that we're prideful. Why do we argue? Because we're right. I mean, when you argue with somebody, you argue because you know you're right. And the other person's arguing back because they know they're right. That's pride. That's part of us. That's part of our nature, is that we're prideful by nature. That's part of our fallen condition. And it can be dangerous to ourselves, to one another. And a lack of experience in life can really bring on that pride mixed with inexperience can bring on a conceit to think that we're of ourselves more highly than we ought. And he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. It's an encouragement here to be humble. Don't just trust what you see. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Run away from it. And the longer we live, the less likely we are to become wise in our own eyes. Because, you know, the older you get, the more you realize you don't know how much you need to know, how important God is in our lives. And one of the greatest stumbling blocks to jump over in order to come to a knowledge of who God is to acknowledge our own ignorance in many different areas, and especially in the wisdom of God, especially compared to a holy and righteous and all-knowing God. Remember Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees one time, he spoke against them because they had this level of pride that was based on their own wisdom in their own eyes. He said, Jesus said to them, this is John 9:41. He says, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see. therefore your sin remains. In other words, you're seeing, and yet you're still being a hypocrite. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." What's the remedy for self-righteousness, for conceit? It says here, fear the Lord. Because conceit and self-righteousness and pride cannot live in the same heart with fear of God. Oh, they'll be in there struggling together, but ultimately we win. The Lord wins, I should say. Now, this verse 8, it says, "It shall be health to your navel." It, you know, in today's words, it would think, I'm going to have a healthy belly button. Is that what it really means? I have a healthy belly button? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that fear of the Lord and departing from evil, it's health to the soul. It's health to the body, not just the belly button. It just, navel was the word they used. They interpreted from the Hebrew here. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, it's speaking of, first, it's an encouragement of the proper use of riches. You know, if God gives us, and do it in such a way that it honors God. If someone has wealth, it means God gave it to them. He gave them either the intellectual capacity to do it, to earn. And some people just have a way of, it seems like everything they touch, they have that Midas touch. Things turn to gold and they have wealth. But that's God that does that. We can't take credit for the gifts God gives us. He gives, well, we do, but God does. He gives us gifts. And He's just saying the honor that I've given you and those gifts that I've given you that give you that wealth, I want you to return some of that honor. In Romans 14:8, Paul says, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. That's a real important point to come to, I think, is to know that I belong to God. And if He chooses to move me over here or to put something in my path or to bring me someplace, I need to rejoice in that. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, whether therefore we eat or drink, and whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. And then in Colossians 3:17, it was Paul speaking again. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And in Colossians 3:23, a little further on, he said, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men. As long as we're looking to please people all the time, there will always be people that are not satisfied with us. We need to be pleasing our Lord, know what He wants. And the idea here is to honor God with our substance. Some take that and it refers to first fruits, which is our tithes. You know, in the Hebrew culture, that was what they would do. They'd give the first fruits to the priesthood and to the church in essence. And so tithing one-tenth to Him. And it says that He rewards us back according to our generosity. Now, let me make it clear first. He's not always talking about money here, because if that were the case, that would be investing or gambling. You know, there are places where you'll hear them teach, you know, cast your bread upon the waters and it'll return tenfold, meaning you put money in the agape box, it'll come back 10 times to you. That's the wealth and health doctrine. God will reward us, but it isn't always monetarily. He's just saying, hey, take what you have, be generous with the Lord, to the Lord's work, and be generous to those around you. In verse 11, he goes on and says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father, the son in whom He delights. Patient endurance, is that it? When we're afflicted, when we're being corrected by the Lord. I don't know about you. I don't love trials and tribulations and troubles. I love the easy path. That would be comfort is good with me. You know, I like that. But God knows I'm lazy in that area, and He puts other things in my path so I don't get too lazy there. Comfort can be a real trap. And, you know, if you have to go in for surgery, sometimes I have scars on my body where they've done surgery. I haven't looked forward to the surgery, but I look forward to the healing that came as a result of that surgery. No one says, really, I can't wait till they cut into me, you know. Hope they don't use anesthesia. We don't like pain, but we endure pain sometimes for the healing. And I don't know if you can take that. I don't think it's a great leap to go from there into the trials and tribulations that God brings us to. He brings in our past sometimes so that we can be stronger, so that we can be healed from some of the things that maybe a love of self sometimes. I've been caught in that often enough. Jesus was willing to endure the cross. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what the joy that was set before him? Us, doing the will of the Father. All that would get saved as a result of his death on the cross. And I was speaking of surgery either. It's almost like Jesus having an operation for someone else. You know, he went to the cross, we get saved. And God knows our needs. He's with us in our troubles. He'll still be with us through whatever we go through, whatever the outcome. And we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. And when we're there in those times of troubles, it's important not to lean on our own understanding, because I don't know about you, but mine is, if things are going wrong, there must be something wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. You ever get into that? Or maybe you have sin sniffers and some friends, they'll say, oh, your car broke down, you must be in sin. I've had people say that. No, I think my car broke because it needed maintenance. Oh, let's see. First, John 6. Have you ever heard it? John 6, 6, 6. John 6, 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's a 666 verse. And Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. And we all need to come to that point where we say, where am I going to go? Go somewhere? Where am I going to go? I can't go anywhere but with Jesus. Now, I went a lot of places without Jesus before I knew Jesus. I tried a whole bunch of things, meditation and Zen Buddhism and all kinds of stupid stuff, books that I could rattle off a list of books that are inconsequential because they don't hold any value or any strength. Till I came to Jesus and my family went, oh, now he's a Jesus freak. I wonder how long this is going to last. I said, how about through all of eternity? You know? He has the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to turn. Verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. She, meaning wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her, wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that returns her. Retains her. Precious stones, precious metals, we know they exist. They can be found. But you have to seek after them. You have to dig for them. You have to spend time and energy getting them out of the ground. Wisdom also exists. And it can be found. It's usually not here. Not in our own noodle. Because we have to dig for it. It's like a gem. It's like gold. It's like silver. It has to be dug out of God's word. That's why we need to be spending time in these 66 books, because that's where the gems of God's wisdom lie. And wisdom can be found not only in the word of God, but in testing, in affliction, in troubles, in trials, because we get stronger, we get wiser, studying and digging into God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, Christ crucified, is part of the wisdom of God, how he saved millions of souls. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. They trip over that. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. So if somebody says to you, this Jesus stuff, it's foolish. You say, oh, you're in the Bible. It's foolishness. But in them which are called Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is found in the practice and the practical application of God's word into our lives. And it doesn't take long to recognize the blessings that come when we're obedient to God. Troubles come too, especially if you have unsaved people in your family or think that you just have abandoned them all because you left the church or a family. And when we're obedient to the Lord, it can cause friction sometimes, especially amongst the unsaved. And plus, you get Satan's attention too. But the wisdom of God is found in communion with the Lord, in prayer to him. We learn and grow by spending time with people who know more than we do. I know that when I open my mouth to speak, unless the Holy Spirit, if I'm just in conversation, I don't say anything I don't already know. I don't learn anything when I talk. Now, when I'm speaking the word, sometimes things come out of my mouth. I went, wow, that was good. It must have been the Lord. The place where we can go, we learn from each other, certainly, but the place we go to learn the most is God's Word. Prayer, study, God's Word. He's called the fountain of wisdom, the living spring of wisdom. And he makes a point here that the Word of God brings a satisfaction to our heart. It's soothing, it's comforting, it's important to get into it each day as best we can. Sometimes we have more time than others. He says it brings peace to the heart, and that increases with years. The more time you spend, there's just a mellowing. And even millionaires aren't at peace unless they've made their peace with the Prince of Peace, because that's all that comes, where it comes from. We can't have the peace of God till we've made peace with God by falling in love with the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus. And God's ways, he says, are pleasantness because they lead to holiness. God's blessings come to us and are shown through the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, as long as we're there, would you turn to Galatians chapter 5? It's over in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. Galatians, here it is, Galatians 5. You probably have these memorized already, but I haven't. Actually, I have, and I've unmemorized them, too. First, he talks about the works of the flesh. In other words, how do you know if somebody's a sinner? Here's some things that sinners do. This is Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, sexual intimacy outside of marriage, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. We won't go into a dictionary definition of all these, but envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, he could have stopped right there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. But out of these emanate joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. What's temperance? It's self-control. And you've heard me say this before, but I think the idea that people say, you lost your temper. We don't lose our temper when we get angry. We find it. But we lose our temperance, our self-control, and I think that's been shortened. Just a guess on my part, for what it's worth. Don't consider that the word of God. That was the word of Cardi. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, we can go back to Proverbs now. And God's gifts, just like his words, they're for all eternity. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away." It says shall not pass away, but it means will never. The word of God, even when the earth goes in fervent heat, burns up all the books, all the Bibles, God's word is eternal, and it's still fast and true. Verse 19. Get back to Proverbs 3. My intention was to go through a few Proverbs tonight. Not getting very fast here, am I? Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding has he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. You know, it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In order for God to create the heavens and earth, he would have had to been here before the creating of the heavens and earth. Makes sense. He had to be here already. This earth and this universe isn't here by accident. It wasn't a big explosion of nothing to give us everything. In Job and Isaiah and the psalmists have all said that God laid the foundations of the earth with the currents of the air, with the currents of the water, with the rivers running through the oceans, with the rivers under the ground and the streams and all. And the more we study the earth and the planets and the stars and the galaxies and the nebulas and all, the more we come to realize the wisdom of God. It's so profound. I can't even imagine how many things we can't see and understand because they're more profound. They're outside of our understanding even. We're still discovering them. And God's wisdom is in his creation and the way it's made. Just, I think of there's a thing called a bombardier beetle. He shoots fire out his backside. Seriously. I mean, how many millions of trials in evolution do you have bugs blowing themselves up to get to that point? Oops, got to start evolving all over again. It's crazy. And look at the physiology of a giraffe and that long neck and how to get the blood all the way up to its head. It's long enough that if it didn't have the proper design of the valving, when it put its head down to drink water, the flow of the blood would blow the top of his head off. Just as a couple of instances here. But the creation, God's creation, is intended to lead us to his revelation of who he is and ultimately to know that there is a God, to know who he is, and he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's not willing that any should perish but all be brought to repentance. You could even look at the creation as the counsel of God there to lead us to God, pointing us to the one who holds the waters in the palm of his hand. He said, who's created the heavens and the earth? It's pretty awesome. Verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall you walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. Doesn't mean you'll never trip over a chair. Not the idea, but you won't trip over falsehoods. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. Yeah, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. It's an encouragement to just hold on to the Lord. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to what we've already received and what we know. Cleave to the Lord. Continue in the grace of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2, to the church in Thyatira, the Lord said, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Coming back. Hold on to the truth. I'm coming back. Sailors that are out in the middle of the oceans, they have to continually watch the weather. I mean, in today's world, you can get weather forecasts on a tablet or a phone, for that matter. Imagine 200 years ago, they had to be watching. They can't count on what the weather was an hour ago or yesterday. They have to watch. And safety comes with continually abiding in the Lord, continually being in fellowship, watchfulness. We're heirs of God. And Peter says we're even to speak as the oracles of God. Pretty awesome. Verse 27. Don't withhold good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give, when you have it by you, or when you have it with you. Don't devise evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by you. He's saying, you know, if you really have the wisdom of God in your heart, it'll show itself. It'll show itself in the way that you treat others. Doesn't mean you won't stumble sometimes, mistreat, I'm guilty. But there should be a general love. God's love and his wisdom is in our hearts. And for mankind in general, but for the body of Christ in specific, we can't say, well, I love God, it's just the people I can't stand. You know, he doesn't give us that freedom. Maybe you've heard the more I deal with people, the more I like my dog. You've heard, you know, expressions like that. But, you know, God doesn't give us that freedom to do that. We're to have agape love for one another. The wisdom of God says that we love one another as I have loved you. Ooh. This much, he stretched his arms out. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unhypocritical love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Wow, there's a little song that goes along with that. So the wisdom of God is shown by the love that's in our hearts for one another. We need to get used to each other. I mean, we're going to spend eternity together. I saw a lot of faces today that will be eternally with us also. Verse 30, don't strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. He's saying, you know, the good that you gain by fighting and striving is not worth the harm that it does in that fighting and striving. And strife or fighting or combat is like a fire. It spreads to those around us. It hurts us and those around us. Unforgiveness, I heard someone say, unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die, because it actually eats away at us. I like what Micah 6:8 says. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And when we do these things, we're examples of God's mercy, his grace. And when we don't, we're not. My grace is not good enough. It's just not sufficient. I run out. It's like a little thimble sometimes. Sometimes it's like a glass, but it spills. I need God's continual filling. And God calls us higher all the time. Calls us higher than the world around us. He calls us to higher behavior than the world around us. He expects more of us because we're children of the King. Verse 31. I'll finish the chapter here. Envy, don't envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the froward, the sinful, is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Ooh, I like that. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I think he's saying basically, don't be envious of bullies, people that push people around, force their way on people. And he says, evil, sin, they're abominations to God. It's dangerous even thinking like them, because it's one step toward becoming like them, the bullies. And he says that God's heart goes with the righteous. And there's something here, you may not see it. He's saying that God will reveal to the righteous, in other words, those that love him, things that he won't reveal to others. If somebody just picks up the Bible and is not born again and just starts reading it, they'll get stuff out of it. But when they get saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, God will show that person things he doesn't show the person who isn't saved, that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. There's so much more to be learned when the Holy Spirit is interpreting for us. So he will keep things from some, and he'll reveal some things to the unregenerate. But he says that his curse is on the wicked, His blessings are on the just. The just means the justified, or those that, it's just as if you didn't sin even though you did sin, because Christ took the price for those sins, okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. And then Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will be will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's accomplished when we're strong in the Lord in the power of his might, not our own. Being born again of the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and just seeking after God's wisdom. I really had intended to get more Proverbs out tonight, but I think this is a good place to break, and we'll have a time of prayer. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your word, that we can trust in all that you say, Lord. We don't have to wonder if it's true. We don't have to wonder if it's important to us, Lord. But we can trust every word that you say, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you speak through your word, the wisdom of God, that we can take it and apply it to our lives and have a peace that passes understanding. We can know the true and the living God, the creator of the universe, that the Holy Spirit can live in us, Lord. Wow. What a wonderful plan you've devised, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself. And I pray for all of the family members that we have represented right here, Lord, that don't know you. Friends, neighbors, Lord, you know exactly who they are. I pray you touch their lives, Lord. I pray that we would be examples of righteousness, that it would be obvious that we're different than the rest of the world, Lord. And there's nothing more important than knowing you as we take that last breath so that we can experience the resurrection of the just, Lord. Thank you for that revelation. We eagerly await all the wise things that you're going to put in our head just by knowing you, Lord, the creator of the universe. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.